worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Then looking to Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you, Lord, for being the good and the great shepherd that you are over our lives, and thank you for the privilege of us being able to know that as we make this journey, we're not alone, but we make the journey every step of the way with you, our good and great shepherd. Father, help us all to grow in our understanding of what a great and mighty shepherd you are. And Lord, help us as believers to be vessels through which you can work every day to be blessed, but also vessels that you can reach through to bless and minister to others according to the hurts and the challenges they have in their own lives. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. Help us more and more to fall in love with your word, more so with every passing day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you, please take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. And also want to remind you, on an ongoing basis, please, we're encouraging you to email me at jparker@afa.net to get some of the prayer tools that we provide. Remember, most all believers have challenges when it comes to their prayer life, and we all can grow in our understanding of how to become more effective prayer warriors. So please email us, and we'd like to share some of the prayer tools we have with you. Please take them, use them for yourself and your family, and also, in turn, share them also with others you feel impressed of the Lord to share with, fellow church members, friends, acquaintances, otherwise. But again, please do email us to get them. Again, that's jparker@afa.net to get the prayer tools, specifically the one entitled Kingdom Prayers. We're honored to have as our, phone guest in studio today, our own J.J. Jasper. J.J., of course, is the beloved morning host for here on American Family Radio, and of course does many other things as well. And I'm going to let JJ to kind of further introduce himself, but before I release it to him, I want to say, you know, JJ and I go back a long way. years ago when I did the overnight, I would end my shift and JJ would come in, and we did that for right at 9 years back in the 90s, and we're still young fellas too.
Absolutely. You know? So. You would hand me the baton and we would visit and fellowship briefly, mm-hmm. and you would be overnights just offering that soothing encouragement and advice and from God's word and praying for people in the wee hours of the morning, just like now with people, truck drivers and people who are awake and people working on different shifts, listening as you're offering that inspiration and encouragement from the Lord. So I've got the utmost respect and appreciation and admiration for you, Brother Joseph. Good to see you.
Always good to see you too. And I want to ask if you'll take time a little further to just share out with our listeners anything else that's on your heart that you want to share for them to a little bit know more about you. But also, the Lord has entrusted a unique ministry to you just that draws from your journey. So I want to give you the chance to really share from your heart about that journey, JJ.
Well, thank you for that. And since this this program centers on intercession. While you were praying and talking about the importance of prayer, a couple of quotes that I've seen just recently. Mm-hmm. Someone said, "Worry does nothing. Prayer does everything." Mm-hmm. So we get an opportunity to choose. And someone has rightly said, anything you're not praying about, you're trying to do on your own. Mm-hmm. So I don't pray enough. And probably you listening, that's your story. And so prayer really is the difference maker. So I appreciate you morning after morning here in the wee hours of the night. I appreciate you shining a spotlight on the importance of prayer, because prayer is the difference maker.
That's right.
My wife, Melanie, and I, we have 7 children. Mm-hmm. And to take you back, we had bought a small farm and we had horses and cattle and just had such a wonderful time. At the time, we had 3 girls and 1 little boy, Cooper, blonde hair, blue eyes, all boy. And so we were on this farm, and we'd bought a dune buggy, and we bought it for its safety. It was low to the ground. It had a full roll cage, padded roll bars. And I'd just returned from a trip to Denver. I was missing my family badly, and so my son Cooper and I got in the dune buggy, and we started going up and down this dirt lane, and he was buckled in, and I wasn't, and the wind was in our hair, and we were laughing, having fun, a father and his son making memories, a daddy and his boy having fun. And as I mentioned, Cooper had blonde hair and blue eyes, and he was so smart, and he was funny, and he was kind, he was helpful, he loved Jesus. He was just a, if there was any such thing as a perfect child, that was Cooper. All 3 of our girls were remarkable, and you know, Cooper was our only son at the time, and all of you fathers know the special bond between a daddy and his boy. We'd put hay out for the cattle, and anywhere I went, he was right there behind me with his rubber boots on, and he was 5 years old, and so we were going up and down this dirt lane, and then after we got through riding in the dune buggy, I did what we always called I was going to do a donut, turn the wheel, floor it, spin around, head back to the house. We were in the pasture, it was completely level. I turned the wheel, I floored it, spun around, and then something went terribly wrong and the dune buggy flipped over. Well, I was not buckled in, so it pitched me out. And when I hit the ground, I remember it like it was yesterday. My first thought was, oh, I hope I didn't put a scratch on my baby boy. Because if he has to go and get stitches, or if I broke his little arm, I'll never be able to forgive myself. And so I quickly went to the dune buggy. It was laying on the side. He was still buckled in. And Joseph, just in a freak accident, as the dune buggy rolled over, it broke his little neck. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where you were Friday afternoon, July the 17th, 2009, but I'll never forget. I was doing CPR on my 5-year-old son, looking into his lifeless eyes, and begging God to please spare his life and take mine instead. But on July the 17th, 2009, 10 years ago this summer, my only son died in my arms. Mm.
That's such a powerful story, JJ. And, you know, I think of this, that even though it's been 10 years, of course, I know as you share that story, you can't help but share it and it not touch your heart. And a story like that touches the heart of every single listener. And I think of this too, that, you know, many people have been through loss and loss of loved ones. It comes in so many different forms. No one's story is the same. But the fact is, it always hurts to lose someone that you love. Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners who might be going through someone they've lost very recently, or it may have been a long time ago, but they're still reeling from that loss? Would you pray for those?
Absolutely. Words? Thank you. Lord, you tell us, believers, that we grieve. We don't grieve as those who have no hope.
Yes, Lord.
But you talk about grief in your word.
Yes, Lord.
And losing a loved one is a very real loss. Lord, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is called a comforter. Those who are freshly grieving, their grief is very raw. Would you come alongside them, gather them in your strong arms, and hold them close? Lord, those who have been grieving for many years, but there's still an empty place in their heart, And just like someone that's lost a hand or a foot, they've had to find a new normal and had to just try to put one foot in front of the other. But Lord, we know you're our hope. You are the one that's in charge of life and death, eternal life and death. And today we put our trust in you again, and we ask that you would comfort and strengthen and give courage to the one who's hurting. Come alongside the one who's hurting the most right now. We pray for them, that you would be there for them and help draw them to yourself, Lord, and help them to, even though they don't understand everything and maybe there's some anger or bitterness or discouragement or depression, Lord, help them to put their trust in you. That's our prayer. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, JJ. Yeah. You know, I started off sharing a couple different passages from the book of Psalms. And, you know, something unique about the book of Psalms is it's a book, 150 Psalms, that probably are the most emotional chapters or segments of chapters within Scripture. And for good reason, and God allows the psalmists and the different persons that wrote Psalm. King David wrote almost about half of them, but all the psalmists reflect the emotions of life. And it's a good tool in a unique way for comfort and encouragement for persons in the midst of loss and especially at difficult or challenging times in life. So I would just say in the way of encouragement to our listeners, Psalms is a good place to live and to dwell, especially when you're going through some of the emotional challenges of life. Now, JJ, I want to ask if you'll share more. The Lord has sort of drawn you into a ministry of reaching out especially to hurting people. In the midst of your continuing to share your story of your loss of Cooper, would you share with the listeners more about that?
Well, as I mentioned, there on our family farm 10 years ago this summer, the loss, and, you know, I don't have the words to share how horrific, how the pain, how brutal, how you just can't believe something so catastrophic can happen in the blink of an eye. And over the next few weeks and months, it was all we could do just to put one foot in front of the other. We were in a fog. It's every parent's worst nightmare. All the things that come to mind, the words that you hear about surreal, you know, there's no way this could have just happened. This has got to be a horrible nightmare. So we went through all of that. And to put it in perspective, here it was Friday afternoon. The sky was blue. The weekend was here. Our family was intact. That was Friday afternoon, a daddy and his boy just having fun, just making memories. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday mid-morning, Joseph, we were at the funeral home, and the funeral director was saying, which one of these caskets do you want to pick out for your little boy? So all those words about, you know, that come to mind, surreal and everything, that's where we were. But shortly after the accident, let me interject, God is faithful. Our tragedy doesn't take away from his holiness, and our heartache and our suffering doesn't take away from the sovereign God that we read about from Genesis to Revelation. He's a good God, and we've got questions to this day. And yes, we would have liked to have had a different outcome, but he is sovereign, and he's King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords. And we look through a glass darkly. We won't understand perhaps till we get to the other side, why bad things happen. But he's a good God, and he's completely in control and completely in charge. He's the potter, and we're the clay. We're grateful to God that he was there for us.
I'm going to jump in real quick.
Yeah.
We're coming into a break,
and
we're
going to
pick up right there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is J.J. Jasper, the morning host for American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Trusting in you, Lord God. Trust.
music of Donnie McClurkin, the song Trusting in You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is J.J. Jasper, the morning host for American Family Radio. And J.J., if you'll just pick up where you left off before we jumped in there with a break.
Well, I was talking about the terrible accident that happened on our family farm, and our only son at the time, 5-year-old Cooper, died in an accident. And we just stumbled forward weeks and months after that, just trying to do our best at, like so many of you that have lost a close loved one, trying to put one foot in front of the other, just sort of in a fog and just a desperation, crying out to the Lord and praying. And my wife and I, we would wake up, we would hold ourselves, hug each other, and sob uncontrollably, and we would pray, Lord, help us to grieve well. We just prayed that over and over. It was just, that's all we knew to really say. We would just, in between sobs, we'd say, Lord, help us to grieve well. Help us to grieve well. We didn't even know what that looked like, but we knew we didn't want to go over the cliff, and we'd known people who had turned to drugs or alcohol or their marriages had failed, and so a couple of months after the accident, the leadership of American Family Association, American Family Radio, approached us and said, we tried to find some resources to help you, and there's not a lot out there for parents who have lost a child. Mm-hmm. And so they explained, they said, you haven't turned to drugs or alcohol. You're not bitter or angry at God. You're still going to church. Your marriage is still strong, and your story needs to be told. If and when you were able to do this, we want to do a documentary to tell your story and let people know there's hope on the other side of tragedy. Now, they weren't trying to exploit us. They said, if and when you're able to do this, and if you can't, we completely understand. But number one, we want to give it away and not sell it. And number two, we just want to let people know there's hope on the other side of tragedy. So we did do that. Dr. Dobson, the Kendrick brothers, Dr. David Jeremiah helped in the bonus tracks. But we told our story, and they titled the DVD Flame On. We've given away several hundred thousand copies. A lot of churches several hundred thousand copies. A lot of churches have shown this on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday night. You can show it for free. You can make copies of it. You can go to jjjasper.com, watch it for free right now, or tell your friends, especially if you know someone whose grandparent has passed away or they've lost a spouse or, like us, they've had a child die. Mm-hmm. Go to jjjasper.com. Right there on the homepage towards the bottom, you can click on and watch Flame On. But so many people watched that, and they said, you really ought to write a book. Mm-hmm. So we wrote the book, Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well, and it's the DVD in greater detail. And so you'd mentioned us having a ministry that's come out of our tragedy. In 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 3 and 4, talks about how the Lord comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort others with the same comfort we've received from the Lord. So that's what we've tried to be there for people who have lost a loved one, and we're so grateful that God has used the DVD Flame On, and then the book that just offers practical tips and biblical answers, and we answer tough questions and sort of give a roadmap from where people are right now in the very bottom, darkest place they've been, to a place where they can say, we're grieving well. Mm.
Well, you know, JJ, you shared a lot, you know, there. I think of this, too, that you've spoken on and you speak in different places, especially like, for example, pregnancy clinics, banquets and different events. And the Lord has used you mightily to minister to people kind of on a speaking circuit as well, right?
Well, thank you for that. Yes, I get to crisscross the nation, and it's kind of a unique situation because for many, many years I did stand-up comedy as well as being on the radio, and one of the great fears, my wife Melanie thought, oh, no, after this accident, especially with me doing the driving, she thought, well, we will never laugh again as a family. Mm-hmm. But we continue to do that, and so I get a lot of opportunities, as you mentioned, to be the speaker at Pregnancy Center, annual fundraisers. That's something I'm very passionate about. But we actually laugh together. We'll laugh together, but then we'll share our story towards the end. Mm-hmm. We've got many layers to our pro-life story. We have 7 children. We have a little boy that has Down syndrome. We lost a child when we thought that our family couldn't be any more pro-life than we are. That old adage about you really don't know what you have until it's taken away. So we have such a heart for the sanctity of human life. And so we get a lot of invitations to come speak at Pregnancy Center annual fundraisers and things like Valentine banquets, Christmas banquets, just, you know, men's ministry, wild game supper. So real wide variety. So we're very grateful for those open doors.
Okay. And so if someone wants to get in touch with you to have you to come speak, how could they do that?
JJJasper.com. JJJasper.com. Thank you for that. You know, you're talking about grieving, and we're talking about how people are hurting. I was impressed by a post I saw on Facebook regarding the uniqueness of that journey. And someone said, no rule book, no time frame, no judgment. Grief is as individual as a fingerprint. So no two people grieve the same. Some people go to the cemetery every single day. Others just don't have the strength to go or the desire to go.
Right.
And as long as you're not harming yourself or hurting others, you know, there's no real formula for how to grieve. But having said that, there are a lot of stages that are very common for folks. The first stage of grief is denial. The second stage of grief is anger. And people just stay in these different stages for several weeks or even perhaps several months. Following that is a bargaining stage where you say, God, if you can just turn back the clock, you know, you try to make a deal with God to change the rules of the universe, and you make all kinds of promises to God if they'll just, you know, make an exception and bring your loved one back. Then the fourth is depression, and the final stage is acceptance, and you just know, okay, we're not going to have another birthday. There's not going to be another Christmas with my loved one, but here's some good news for those of you listening that have lost a loved one. You're going to get to spend more time with your loved one in heaven than you did here on earth. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. And so, you know, there's a great reunion coming for you and your loved one if they had a relationship with Jesus Christ, if they've realized their need for God, repented of their sins, and received Jesus into their heart and life by faith. And if that's your story, if you're a Christian, if your loved one was a Christian, then we're going to get to spend way more time in heaven than we ever did here on earth.
That's right. That's right. I've heard it said that eternity is 1,000 years with the two ends knocked out on them. So it's going to be a long, long time.
I like
and
that.
So praise the Lord for it. So, JJ, what would you want to say to someone who doesn't know Jesus and doesn't have the promise or the doesn't have the hope of seeing loved ones again? What would you want to say to that person today?
Well, that's our greatest need, having our sins forgiven. And we were put on this earth to glorify God. Each person has a Christ-shaped hole in their heart, and you can't fill that vacuum with drugs or alcohol or power or pleasure or fun or any kind of thing. And you can search and you can try to fill that void with hobbies or you know, the old thing people say, you know, sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever. You can't satisfy your soul because we were born to have a relationship with our Maker, with our Creator. And that verse that so many know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God demonstrated his love for you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. So if you are not right with God, if you're not in right relationship with your Maker, with your Creator, it's really simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. You realize your need for God. You humble yourself. You repent of your sins, which simply means turn around. If you're going one direction and you're struggling with addiction, if you lie or cheat or you're addicted to pornography or gambling or whatever, you gossip, you fill in the blank. If you're going that direction, turn around and go in God's direction. That's repentance. But you realize your need for God. You repent of your sins. Then you receive Jesus Christ into your heart and life by faith. And it talks about that in Ephesians where it says that faith through grace, you know, that we're saved by I'm trying to think of how that verse goes in Ephesians 2:8-9.
By faith, by grace through faith.
Yes.
Amen.
And not, amen. Not of works, but mm-hmm. it's a gift of God. So mm-hmm. you can't earn your way to heaven. It's just to put your trust in the birth, the sinless life, the death on the cross, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to do that. Listening, if you don't know the Lord, you can know him personally by, you know, asking him into your heart.
That's right. That's right. I want to invite someone that's listening, keep in mind that if you want to spend eternity with Jesus, as JJ was just speaking of, it's important that you make that step because nobody can make it for you. As the saying goes, God has no grandchildren. You have to receive Christ for yourself. Your dad or mom may have been saved, or grandparents, but you have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior for yourself. And if you're that listener right now, you're not sure that you're saved, or if you know you're not saved, but you want to make that step, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me even right now, because again, keep in mind, once you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, if he's your Lord and Savior, then you're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And all your loved ones that knew the Lord when they died, you'll see them and spend eternity, as JJ was speaking of, with them as well. If you'll just simply pray this prayer with me as you're listening, you can receive Christ right now. Pray this with me if you would. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I confess that I've sinned, and I now repent of all my sins. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins, and I believe that 3 days later you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. In the Bible you said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And I now rejoice that I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say to every listener, if you just prayed that prayer with me, please do get in touch with us. I want to give you my email again. It's jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd really like to hear from you, and I also would like to share with you some material that'll help you to grow up and begin to grow strong in your new walk and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, so JJ, again, you've mentioned about your ministry to those that are hurting now as well. Specifically, would you share any insight that you can share with the listeners about how you saw your children walk through this journey of grieving as well, and how you helped them walk through it?
Thank you for that. Well, you know, some of the things that we were encouraged and challenged with, they said to be ready for the first birthday, the first Christmas. And so we were sort of hunkered down and ready for that, but we weren't ready for the first trip to the store without Cooper, the first time we went to church, the first time we went to a restaurant. And there's an empty seat at the table that's very glaring, and I would encourage people to be ready for that and to be prayed up and know that that's coming. Mm-hmm. And then with our children and collectively as a family, there was no silver bullet. There was no magic thing that we did to fix everything. We just went back to the foundation of what anyone needs to do. If your marriage is strained, if you've got a rebellious teen, if you have got difficulties at work or at church or at home, we just prayed when we didn't feel like it. We read our Bible when we didn't want to. And we just tried to continue to go to church, even though we knew the tears would flow and things that would happen. And anyone who's lost a loved one knows this. The word I would use is you'd be ambushed by grief. You know, mm-hmm. you'd have a few hours where you felt like, okay, I feel pretty normal. You know, I've gone 2 hours or 4 hours, you know, and it's been a few days or a few weeks since our son's death. And then you would hear a song, or you'd smell a fragrance, or you'd see a little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy in the aisle of the store, and you'd mm-hmm. be reduced to just shoulder-shaking sobs and no warning. You could be driving, or you could just be You know, you could be in a restaurant, and then it just a wave comes over you. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, you're just ambushed by grief, and so you need the Lord in your life. And I don't know how people grieve. I mean, without God, because it requires supernatural help. And here's a way that it was explained. A close minister friend did the graveside service, and he simply said to the extended family there at the graveside service, he said, in the next few weeks and months, people with good intentions will tell you in time you'll get over this. But unfortunately, that's not true. You're never going to get over it. You'll get through it with God's help, but this is not a wound that will heal. This is an amputation.
I'm going to jump in once again, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest is J.J. Jasper. We'll be right back. Of Rich Mullins, the song Sometimes by Step. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is J.J. Jasper, morning host for American Family Radio. And, you know, J.J., in this last segment, something I just wanted to mention, too. You were sharing about just the different ways that people grieve, and you were sharing about your own children as well. And I know it's been almost two decades since my first wife went home to be with the Lord, and our children were young, and they all grieved very differently. And it was until he was grown before I saw him cry over his mom's loss. And so everybody's different, and I appreciate you sharing that too. And I think of this, that as one minister put it, he said, tears are the pressure valves of the soul. And sometimes people mistakenly say, don't cry. Sometimes crying can maybe one of the best things you can do to kind of that catharsis, that healing can happen the more as you. So not feeling like we need to keep that in is important too. So, but you, please proceed with what you were sharing.
Well, you're exactly right. I've heard that tears are heart water. So it is very appropriate to cry. But as something we started with at the beginning of the program, I saw something on Facebook regarding the uniqueness of the journey that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And the person said, no rule book, no time frame, no judgment. Grief is as individual as a fingerprint. Please take as long as you need and grieve in a way that is appropriate for you as long as you're not harming yourself or others. Mm-hmm. And what I was saying right before the break, the minister at the graveside service told us people with good intentions will say, in time you'll get over this. Mm-hmm. But he said, you're never going to get over it. This is not a wound that will heal. This is an amputation. And just like a person who's lost an arm or a leg, a hand or a foot, you're never going to get over it. Mm-hmm. But you will get through it with God's help, but you're going to have to find a new normal. And just like a person who's lost an arm or a leg, you're going to have to find a new way to do life.
That's right.
You'll never get over it, but you will get through it by God's grace with God's help. And if I could share, we, in one of the chapters of the the book Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well, The Storms of Life, we shared 10 things that we learned from this. And I can move through these quickly because C.S. Lewis once wrote, God whispers in our pleasure but shouts in our pain. Someone has suggested there are three phases of life. You're headed into a storm, currently in a storm, or coming out of a storm. And so the storms of life are inevitable. Mm-hmm. I just don't think, especially the older I get, you can't go from cradle to the grave without some difficulties, some trials and tribulations. And if you've got aging grandparents, aging parents, you're going to get that dreaded call. Mm-hmm. So instead of getting mad at God and you stop going to church and you just collapse under the weight of the death of a loved one, instead of running from God, run to the Lord.
That's right.
And we learned a lot of things, but we learned at least 10 things.
Mm-hmm.
One, life is precious, but it's also fragile. Mm-hmm. We learned how quickly life can completely change. We need not live in fear, but strive to make every moment count, because it's true what they say. You never know when it's going to be your last opportunity to say, I love you, to someone you care about. So we encouraged people, in light of what happened with us, turn the TV off, get down on the floor, play with those children, play with those grandbabies, and make time for family and friends and relish those moments together. We learned humility. When something catastrophic happens, we realize how little we are in control of. We were completely humbled and overwhelmed by the death of our young son. And sometimes it takes something drastic to stop us in our tracks, help us prioritize, and make a course correction. We were also genuinely humbled by the love and outpouring of support of others in our time of need.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that we learned about the power of prayer that you talk about on this show every single day. Prayer really is the difference maker.
Mm-hmm.
Four, the power of God's Word. The Bible is the greatest book that's ever been written. It's the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It's God-breathed. Mm-hmm. We talk to God through prayer, and God speaks to us through the Bible. There's no greater source for comfort, for guidance, for wisdom. And the greatest comfort that we received while we were grieving is reading the Bible, and especially the Psalms, as you were talking about earlier. Night after night, we sat at the table, and through tears, we just read the Psalms. And the Lord used that, the Holy Spirit used that to comfort us.
Mm.
We learned about the importance of the body of Christ. We saw the church in action, from small gestures of kindness to larger ones. Every card, every meal, every thoughtful act made a difference and had an impact in our time of suffering. Number six, the sovereignty of God. I say we learned these things. Some we were just reminded, and some, C.S. Lewis, I think, is the person that said we need to be reminded more often than we need to be taught.
Mm-hmm.
But we learned about the sovereignty of God. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. God has a purpose and a plan, and even our darkest day did not catch him by surprise. Lord, help us come to the place where we can pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. We learned about his provision. Number seven, God provided a sacrifice for Abraham on Mount Moriah and ravens to feed Elijah by the brook. He provided a cruse of oil for the widow and an ark for Noah and his family. He promises to supply all your needs, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His grace is sufficient, and we discovered that even during a storm, God is faithful. He will give you exactly what you need, precisely when you need it. Number eight, the peace of God. He gave us a peace that passes our own understanding. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but peace is the presence of God. And even in the middle of our suffering, we often sensed a sweet peace that transcended our understanding and can only be explained as coming from God. We experienced that paradox of having a perfect peace when all around us the storm was raging. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the ninth thing that we learned is his presence in our life, and I spent a lot of time talking about that in the book. And the tenth thing, this world is not our home. Trials, trouble, and tragedy have a way of reminding us that we are sojourners. We are pilgrims passing through. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. That's in Romans 8:18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. So if we place our trust in Christ, we have assurance from the Bible that heaven will be our home. One day we will be safely home, rejoicing in the promises we have in Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
Mm-hmm. And that's an excerpt from your book then. Mm-hmm.
That's an excerpt from the chapter, The Storms of Life, and we've got a chapter, Guilt and Regret, a chapter on forgiveness, encouragement from unexpected sources, hope is a chapter, grieving well. And so we just wanted to offer some practical tips on some things that we learned, some things to do, some things not to do, some things that were helpful that people did, some things that were damaging, and just try to share our story and offer practical and biblical help.
Mm. Okay, so if listeners are wanting to get the book, tell them again how they can get it.
Probably the best place, jjjasper.com, jjjasper.com, and I encourage people to go there, jjjasper.com, and watch Flame On for free. It's at the bottom of the homepage there. Share that with friends that you know that are suffering, that are hurting. We know we're not the only family that's gone through a tragedy. There are a lot of people hurting. Mm-hmm. And so if you know someone in your community that's just lost a loved one, especially if they've lost a child, it might require a little courage to watch that. It's a tearjerker, but it does offer hope. Mm-hmm. And then certainly if they want to purchase the book, we learned a lot of people buy the book for someone. The people mm-hmm. don't buy the book for themselves.
Okay.
But Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well, and Max Licato endorsed the book, and we had so many respected Christian leaders say some really nice things about how it's a roadmap to help people grieve well.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you again for sharing that, JJ. Would you at this time pray for listeners, whatever's on your heart, to pray for them now before our time ends today?
Thank you. Lord, thank you for Pastor Joseph. We pray for him and his family. Thank you for his willingness here in the wee hours of the morning to offer help and hope and point people to you. Lord, we pray for our country right now, for our president, President Trump, our elected national leaders and state leaders and local leaders. We pray for our military, for our churches, our schools. There's so many things that we cry out to you and ask for help and ask that you forgive us of our sins, and we pray for revival. But right now, thinking about death and grieving, God, again, we pray for those who are freshly grieving, very raw in the early stages of grieving. Lord, will you comfort them in a way that only you can? Please give them help and hope and buoy them, Lord. Don't let them do anything drastic. Don't let them turn to drugs or alcohol or to be bitter or angry at you. Lord, please help them to go to church, to be among a community of Bible believers. And Lord, gather them up in your big strong arms and help them and give them hope and help them to grieve well. That's our prayer. Be with the one who's hurting the most right now. We pray for them, and we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, JJ. JJ, how would you like for listeners to pray specifically for your family as a whole, but your children in particular? What would you ask listeners to pray for your children about?
You know, thank you for that. We just try to shepherd our children and try to teach them how to recognize the presence of God in their lives. I know I'm not going to always be here on earth to be there at the important crossroads when they're trying to choose a mate or choose a college or a career, or when they become parents or grandparents, you know, we may not be here. So I want them to be able to pray and experience the presence of God in their life, have a very real personal relationship. At this point, all of our children are saved. They're all born again, like it talks about in the third chapter of John. But I just want to, like so many parents, I just want my children to grow in the Lord and glorify God with their life. And I want to be a better husband and a better father. So I would appreciate those prayers if I can be selfish and ask for prayers in that regard. But just like so many parents, we just want our children to honor the Lord and glorify God with their lives.
That's right. That's right. And you know, when we know the Lord and our children know the Lord, again, that's one exciting thing to just keep in mind, that one day we will spend all eternity with them in heaven. And again, at a time when we won't have a mortgage to pay, won't have taxes to pay, you know, no problems, no difficulty, in a wonderful place called heaven. And if you know Jesus, you're going. So any final word before our time ends today you'd like to share with our listeners of encouragement?
Well, I'm thankful for your opportunity to be here on American Family Radio, American Family Association. I'm grateful for Don Weilman, the founder, for the Weilman family. Makes possible to have 180 some odd stations in 32 states, Christ-centered, where we're nudging people closer to God. And we certainly appreciate the prayers for the ministry, that God would continue to lead, guide, and direct American Family Association, American Family Radio. But thank you for this opportunity, Joseph. You and I go back over 20 years, and I've got the greatest respect for you and admiration for you, and I'm glad that the Lord uses you in this capacity. Amen. Each day.
All right. Well, JJ, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and sharing your story and sharing about your ministry. So keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.